Well, we're going to be talking in the next hour to our guest who's going to help us understand what in the world is going on. Maybe she'll have some feelings about this. I don't know. But we're going to talk to Dr. Judy Wood in the next hour and then Andrew Johnson in the hour after that. So stay tuned to the Power Hour. With that in mind, we want to get to the bottom of what happened. Now, remember, she says thermite was not used in the building. You know what? The building didn't happen the way they said it happened. That's really all we need to know. But she is a real big promoter of having factual evidence, and we need to find out what she has to say. We're going to change the subject now to talk to Dr. Judy Wood. She is a PhD. She is a former professor of mechanical engineering and research, and her interests are in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, and the materials characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. All things I know nothing about, absolutely nothing about. She has a BS degree that in civil engineering, in structural engineering that she got in 1981, a master's in engineering mechanics, applied physics, and a PhD in materials engineering science that she received from Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University of Blacksburg, Virginia. Now, I bring her on because her interest is 9/11. She had a real awakening. She calls it a Hiroshima, not a Pearl Harbor. She's been very well known for speaking out, and she's also come under fire by a lot of people for her beliefs. She does not believe that thermite was the cause of the building collapse. So we're going to talk to her about what her beliefs are and how she supports that. We want to get to the bottom of what the evidence is. That's all we care about, is what is the evidence. And I believe that is the same as Dr. Judy Wood. Thank you, Dr. Wood, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about, you have come under all kinds of fire by all kinds of people for your sort of, deviating from the position that most of the 9/11 people are taking. What, first of all, what is the conventional theory that most people go by, and then how do you deviate from that?
Well, I don't look at what other people look at. I don't look at what other people believe in. I just look at the evidence.
Okay.
If I have a theory, my theory is, let's go look at the evidence. Uh-huh. See what the evidence tells us, because I believe that if you talk about beliefs, I believe that if you listen to the evidence carefully enough, it will tell you exactly what happened. If you don't know what happened, keep listening to the evidence until you do.
All right, I can agree with that. I think anybody can agree with that. But I think what we have now is a dispute over what the evidence is, because David Ray Griffin and a number of people are making their statements about what happened. You, on the other hand, sort of have a different position. Let's talk about what the position is of Dr. Judy Wood.
Well, for the record, I don't believe that our government is responsible for executing the events of 9/11, nor do I believe our government is not responsible for executing the events of 9/11. This isn't a case of belief. This is a crime that should be solved by a forensic study of the evidence. Before it can be determined who did it, it must be determined what was done and how it was done. And any crime investigation needs to go in that order. So let's look at what happened. That's what you first need to look at before you go to the how and the who. And so my first question is, when you look at the scene, where did the buildings go? And that is a crucial question. Reporters were asking that question on day one and on day two. Why did they stop asking that question? And why did the rest of us stop asking that question?
Okay, so you say one of the major questions is, where did the buildings go?
Yes, the 7 o'clock in the morning of 9/11, there were two towers standing there. And then they went away. The material itself went away. Before noon, we're told all sorts of stories, but it was shipped to China. But as soon as the dust cleared, before noon on 9/11, there's photos from various angles by various different photographers. Where's the debris? it's street level. And then there's people who go down below street level, and it's hollow down there. Anybody down there, there? You could hear an echo.
Now, wait a minute. Didn't we see all this debris that had fallen down? Didn't we picture that and watch them clean it up?
First of all, they call it a pile, so you think there's a pile. You know, it works on the subconscious. Word choice is important.
Okay.
For our perceptions. That's just how we work as humans. And so if you call it a pile, but then this pile got taller with time. They trucked in dirt. That's another interesting thing. But if you just look at all of the evidence, you just go there and you look. You don't, you know, set out to find the answer or to, you know, here's a choice of answers, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you know, pick and choose. No, you just go and look. You know, feel the area, taste it, smell it, you know, just experience it. So the first thing you notice is that when the dust clears, standing at the street level, you can see completely across the site, east to west.
Okay.
At street level.
I'll grant you that, yes. All right, well, so what does that mean then? We're talking about a building which was pulverized, which allegedly fell down into its footprint, is what we're told.
Right.
With thermite charges, that was a electronic engineering feat to bring down that building in its footprint.
Well, if you cut up a building like for controlled demolition, the building still needs to come down. We don't see the evidence of a building having come down.
So you're saying that it wasn't just pulverized building that we see at the bottom of that?
No, pulverized is different than, you know, like turning to dust or turning to chunks. If you go to, you know, controlled demolition in Las Vegas, what you see is, you know, they cut a building up and they slam it to the ground to break it up. They don't, the explosives are just to take it off its support so they can then drop to the ground. And the slamming onto the ground is what breaks it up.
Okay.
And so these cut the building into several pieces, and then as the pieces come down, they break up.
And you're saying that that did not happen, according to your evidence, in the situation with the Twin Towers?
Correct. Did you see entire sections of building, you know, falling and then breaking up once it hit the ground?
No, I don't know that I saw really a whole lot of other than just dust in the air is all we saw.
Right. How does a solid piece of material in mid-flight turn into dust? Explosives, when they break something up, you get chunks go flying.
Okay.
They break into chunks. The chunks don't change mid-flight. They change at the source. They change, you know, when something explodes, it breaks into chunks. The chunks go flying, and then chunks land. But on 9/11, we had, you know, large sections of wall flying that never hit the ground because looking at them, they like dissolved into dust like ice cream melting.
Oh, I see. You're saying it dissolved into dust in midair before it hit the ground, which should have then broken it apart into the dust.
Right.
Okay.
Air doesn't cause that much resistance to pulverize a building or to dustify it.
Well, are they not saying that it was explosions that separated it into pieces or into very small pieces like dust, that it pulverized it or created the dust, the explosions?
But you have a solid piece that leaves the building.
All right.
And then turns into powder.
Okay. All right. What other reasons do you see, other than it defies the law of physics, obviously, with what you're just saying right now, help us also see other reasons that tell you that there was not thermite in the building. Because obviously the question everybody's asking is, what was it then if it wasn't thermite or explosions that brought the building down?
Thermite doesn't explode. Thermite melt, you know, they use it to weld railroad tracks, or the military actually uses it for a couple things. One is to burn paper. Did you see a lot of burned paper all over southern Manhattan that day?
Well, yeah, it was everywhere.
Unburned paper.
Correct. Oh, yeah, unburned paper, yes.
Right. The military uses thermite to burn paper.
Okay. I'm not an expert on thermite, know nothing about it, so I'm kind of at your, you're going to have to tell us what you think happened here. We're going to be right back after this 4-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. Grab something to drink. Come right back. We'll be back in 4 minutes with the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. I don't know what's going on, but we seem to have been able to not be able to keep a connection here. I don't know what's going on. I understand the program's been going in and out everywhere today. It's just not holding, and for some unknown reason, we've got some interference here. So let me just go ahead with Dr. Judy Wood and see if we can go as far as we can into this discussion. And if it doesn't work, well, we're just going to have to let it go and go to a replay, because I'm not quite sure what's happening here. Anyway, we're talking to Dr. Judy Wood, who is an engineer. She has been involved in all kinds of well-applied physics issues. And so she comes to us saying that there's something wrong with the story, the prevailing story of thermite bringing down the building. She said, number one, that where did the building go? It just sort of evaporated into dust.
Not evaporated.
Okay. Not evaporated, but I mean, us looking at it, we would think that it sort of went into just dust. Then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It became dust. All right. And what other reasons do you support the fact that there was something else going on in the building?
Well, I don't start with what's wrong with another story. I look at what do I see? What is the story? Once in a traumatic event, in a traumatic situation, humans tend to go with the herd. When you're on the street and you hear someone yell, "Get down on the ground! Get down on the ground!" you do it immediately. You don't stop and ask why or ask questions if it's unreasonable. You just do it. You run with the herd.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have something in your mind, especially from such a traumatic event, you're not going to look back and rethink it, because that's reliving the event, and who would want to do that? So whatever gets planted in people's minds immediately is what sticks. You know, first impressions stick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I tend to try to look at stuff with a blank slate. Let's just clear the slate, not pick at this quote theory and that theory. Let's not have a theory. Let's just look at the evidence. What do we know? We know the towers aren't there anymore. There were two towers, and then they went away. And then you start looking at things more and more, and more evidence, and the story comes together. It's just an enormous story. If you were busy looking at thermite or looking at, looking for nukes, you miss everything else. Because you're looking for an answer, so you have tunnel vision on that for that answer. And then also, if that is on your mind, you have a bias for it.
All right. Now, isn't it true, though, that they're saying that there was evidence of thermite found in the building?
The building turned to dust. Powderized, whatever you call it. It's a new phenomenon, so it needs a new word. So I like dustify. I want to see that in the dictionary. The building was dustified. So if you sample any dust, if 100% of everything in the building from, the 20th store up turned to dust, if you find dust from that building, you're going to find all sorts of things in that dust. You're going to find traces of chocolate, traces of sugar, and traces of nanoweed, flour. And Does that mean the chocolate chip cookies were involved? The building was made out of, it was a steel frame building with aluminum cladding. So if you dustify steel, it instantly rusts, so you have rust. And if the building had aluminum cladding on it that was turned to dust, you have aluminum powder. Aluminum powder and iron oxide is what thermite is.
All right. So
if you have those ingredients, that's what the building's made out of.
Okay, the components of thermite were found in the building then. So you're saying that because components of thermite were found does not necessitate that thermite was found.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. And
if you have a dust baggie with a zillion things that were in the building, traces of all sorts of things in that dust baggie, how do you know what was mixed with what?
Mm-hmm. All right, good point. Let's talk about the other reasons that support your idea that something else happened, and then we need to talk about what that something else was after this 3-minute break. Then we're going to take some phone calls from those of you out there who are 9/11 experts. If you would like to ask Dr. Wood a question or have a comment, she goes against the prevailing theory of what we've learned, even by 9/11 people. Doesn't go against. She says she uses her own documentation. Back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. Thank you for joining us 33 minutes after the hour. This is Joyce Riley. Thank you for being part of the Power Hour today, part of the Power Hour team. We're talking to Dr. Judy Wood about 9/11. She has a different concept, a different finding based on the documentation that she has, and she's all about evidence, and there's nobody that can not appreciate that. So let's get back to Dr. Judy Wood, the story of 9/11 as she sees it. Now, if we drop off the line, just forgive us. We're going to have to go to a replay, but we're going to try and stay on as long as we can. Dr. Wood, you say the building just dustified. All right. What other reason, what other evidence do you have to say that something else took place or to direct it toward what you believe took place?
Well, again, I don't go by beliefs. I go by what the evidence says. And one of the mistakes people often make is, okay, what's the answer? What's the answer? The answer is 7? Oh, well, you don't know how to add 1 + 1. Well, if you're not looking at what's being added, then you can't understand the answer of 7. What I do is look at all of the evidence. So let's look. We have around the perimeter of the building, buildings with round holes in their windows, circular holes, not a spider web pattern. If you throw something through a window, like a baseball, you get a spider web looking pattern. This looks like a glass cutter cut out a circular spot, and it's the outer pane of a double pane window where the inner pane is still intact. That is evidence of longitudinal waves. I don't even think a glass cutter could make such a nice hole.
Okay, what does longitudinal wave mean to those of us that are not engineers?
As opposed to a transverse wave, let's see, if you if you get a slinky, you know, like a jump rope and somebody's wiggling it up and down, that's a transverse wave. If you stretch a rubber band and let go of it and it snaps, that's a longitudinal wave.
Okay.
And most things make, the jump rope, you know, back and forth kind of wave when they travel. Also, we have flip cars. Cars upside down next to trees with full foliage, which is kind of peculiar, right next to a car that's like totally toast. What I mean by toast is it's history. It's toast. There's something happened to it. The material has been disrupted. So we have lift or disruption right in spots adjacent to each other, which is kind of peculiar. And then this occurs up to a half mile or so away. So why would cars be toasted next to paper that's unburned?
Okay.
It's another peculiar thing. And also these spots on cars where, you know, it's brand-new wax job in mint condition, and this immediately, you know, 1 nanometer over, you have totally toasted material, disrupted material. A conventional fire cannot do that. You don't have, you know, a line of demarcation like that. Also, it seems to affect particular materials, like an engine block, totally dustified, where the rest of the car is intact. Tires are still, you know, inflated. There's just really weird things like that. Door latches and door handles were one of the first things to go. So you see a lot of pop trunk lids. There's people talked about being levitated.
Who talked about being levitated?
Various first responders.
Okay, I never heard anything about that.
They don't use that word. They say lifted up.
All right.
and carried, or slammed against a wall, or they're not sure how they got wherever. Somebody thought that they were had died and were being carried off to heaven when they're getting moved from one place to another. There's a guy who, when Tower 2 was going away, dove under an emergency vehicle for safety. And then when things got real quiet, he thought he was buried and trapped. But he looked up, and there was sky right above him. Where'd the emergency vehicle go that he dove under? It just was gone.
Okay, these are all things that I'm taking for granted that you're saying because I don't know them to be fact. I never heard any of this information, which doesn't mean it's not true. It just means I have never heard this. I got an email from Dan who says there was a layer of dust that was comprised of aerosolized concrete, glass, steel, and human biologicals. It all aerosolized and drifted all over Manhattan. Is that something you recognize as being true or not?
Yes, the building was completely dustified, and it wafted up, down the East Coast. It went up into, maybe even the upper atmosphere. And when I was, looking at and studying how far up this dust went, I started looking at weather satellite images to get a better look, and then, oh my gosh, there's this huge Category 3 hurricane right outside of New York City. Did you realize that? On 9/11, there was a big hurricane.
No, I'd never heard of that. I mean, now we're getting into some areas that make me wonder because I've never heard of that.
It's easily verifiable.
Okay, how do we do that?
Well, I've got plenty of pictures of it on my website, but, National Hurricane Center. It was called Hurricane Aaron. It was the longest-lived hurricane. The biggest hurricane of the season, and it was a more energetic system than Hurricane Katrina.
Okay. All right. Now, give us your other best estimates of evidence, because I'm going to need to go to the callers, and there's some people that are emailing me saying that they are not believing this and not able to accept this information.
People can't accept that the towers went away. But, it's... How do you establish that the towers are gone? It's not a question of belief. I only deal with scientific evidence. And, for example, the Earth's magnetic field shifted precisely at the moments, it built up and then precisely at the moments things happened, like when the towers went away and so forth. There's some really strange things that just, you have to keep looking at the evidence to see this rather than what answers you're looking for. You don't look for the answers you want. You just look at what the evidence tells you. Another thing, if something is brought down by some kind of force, you look at the materials, the last remaining walls. I call them wheat checks. They look like wheat checks. The prefab units of three columns wide by three stories tall, they were standing straight like soldiers. Those last ones on the ground,
uh-huh,
at ground level. That's not what things look like when they're weak and buckled. When things are buckled, they bend around the horizontal axis. They sort of bow down.
Okay. All right, let me go to a couple of callers right now because they've been waiting so long. Richard in Texas, you're on the air with Dr. Judy Wood. Go ahead, please, Richard.
UFOs, we can't blame it on aliens or anybody else. It's hard to believe the guys with box cutters that live in caves have all this technology. The one building didn't even fall by an airplane. It's hard to believe that there wasn't some desk and some other things around that weren't tore up.
Well, nobody's mentioned anything about aliens. We're not talking about aliens, to my knowledge.
I heard there was one report that come through that there was a flying saucer over the building. It was in a picture or something. You hear all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not talking about that now because she's talking about evidence here, and the evidence is that she says that things dustified, that they did not fall in a natural progression according to physics, and if they had, there would have been chunks of stuff like you were just talking about desks,
etc. Well, I heard there was molten metal. No, that wasn't powder.
Okay, molten metal, which is said to have been found at the bottom, and we have the picture of that called the blob or whatever it was. I think we have seen that picture. Now, are you familiar with that, Dr. Wood, the molten metal at the bottom of the building?
I've not seen any pictures of molten metal. they can be established as molten metal. One thing that to be careful of is, you know, all things that glow, I mean, things that are hot glow, but not all things that glow are hot.
Okay.
Let's compare a fluorescent light bulb with an incandescent bulb. They both put out light. One's hot and one's not. Things glow for different reasons. Room temperature luminescence is a phenomenon that you see there. You have people walking through stuff that's glowing, and paper isn't burning. So, you know, people aren't worried about their pants catching on fire. So, myth of, you know, hot molten metal, you don't store molten metal at the bottom of your swimming pool. And we had all sorts of fire hoses. There was even a water main that broke on 9/11, and the whole street flooded, and then some, and it looked like a lake. So how do you have molten metal at the bottom of a lake?
Okay.
You'd have a steam explosion.
Okay, let me go back to Richard. Richard, are you still there?
Sure.
Okay, what are your thoughts then thus far?
Well, my thoughts is they were big buildings. I've stood under them when they were up. They were tremendous buildings. And when you leave New York, you could see them in your rear view mirror. They were tremendous buildings. It's hard to believe that people that live in caves that are primitive people are doing all these things, especially with one building that the plane didn't hit. I don't know whether we listen to what she has to say. Maybe some truth in this, maybe some truth in the other people's thoughts. We all have our opinion, but we know that there was either an explosion or an implosion. Something happened there to bring them down. Now, whether they were powder or whatever, it's hard to believe that people that live in caves are doing all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. I think your point is well taken, that people living in caves with a fax machine, maybe, that doesn't make any sense. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, but I'm not going up by belief of who did what. That's down the road. First, you have to establish what happened.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much for the phone call. Let me go to Larry in Texas before we get to what you think happened. Larry in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is she familiar with the A&E 9/11 truth?
Yeah, I'll let you answer. Go ahead.
Yes, I am familiar with that organization.
Okay. Do you know about the thermite that was dug out of the buildings across the street just a couple years ago by the BYU professor?
I don't think there's any evidence that can be tied to, there. And what does that evidence explain, you know, why the buildings turned to powder and didn't hit the ground?
Well, I believe I saw the buildings leaning over like the Tower of Pisa there for a while, wouldn't it?
But they didn't hit the ground.
Right. Are you familiar with The Last Man Out, Richard Rodriguez's information about the explosions?
I focus on physical evidence, and that is what my federal case I submitted to court.
Yeah, I failed to mention that you had a whistleblower case against NIST in which you alleged that there was some fraud in their report and that you were a quitom whistleblower. That went to the Supreme Court. You asked for a writ of certiorari in January, and it was denied. So you are the one that's gone forward with your evidence to NIST, the National Institute of, what is that, NIST?
The National Institute of Standards and Technology, but I did not, the case is not against them. It's against the contractors who defrauded the American people.
And how did they defraud the American people?
Science fraud. I go down the list, there's a list of 23 of them. Underwriters Lab, for example, built mock-ups of the floor, the entire floors, set them on fire for twice as long, for twice as high a temperature, and at 4 out of 4 times they could not get it to fail to support load. Yet they signed off on a report saying fire did it. That's fraud.
Okay.
And the two main contractors are manufacturers and developers of energy weapons. One of them has a government contract to know about any weapon of mass destruction that exists on the planet or is being developed on or off the planet.
Okay, let me just say to Larry in Texas. Larry, we're going to get to what she believes to be the reason.
No, this is a belief.
All right.
Yeah.
What she says her belief is. All right. What did you want to, Larry, did you want to say anything else?
Yeah, just two more things. Her explanation of why Building 7 may have came down and how they tried to BS us into believing that jet fuel done this. And if jet fuel was so powerful, why wouldn't it melt the jet engine?
Okay, good point.
Yeah, that's what I said years ago. I'd say, well, you know, do you feel drip, drip, drip of, you know, melted engine as it flies overhead? That's a good one. But do you know that we didn't have three towers that collapsed that day? We had seven buildings that went away that day.
Okay, seven buildings that went away that day. We'll be right back after this three-minute break. Thank you very much, Larry from Texas. We'll cover jet fuel in Building 7 after this break. Stay tuned with Dr. Judy Wood. We're having a bit of a contentious discussion here between some people who believe and who don't believe what Dr. Judy Wood says. Now, I'm open. See, I don't have a dog in this fight other than I want the truth. I'm just like her. I want to know what the evidence shows, what the documentation shows. That's what we're all about. And if it has to be a little bit painful to get to the truth, well, let it be painful because I want to get there. And I can listen to somebody for an hour present a whole different side of explanation. All right. Now, Dr. Wood, let's talk about Building 7. You said there were other buildings that came down also, but specifically
That went away.
That went away. Okay.
The key about Building 7 is that it didn't come down. There's you know, no seismic signal that was really detectable from background noise. Yeah.
It just went away. The building didn't come down. I think this is where people are going to lose you right now. And saying, we watched it on TV, and we watched the building come down, Building 7.
Actually, you saw it all afternoon with fumes coming out of it. I won't call it smoke, because that is going to lead us to think fire.
Well, we've seen how the building came down.
We saw the building, the silhouette of a building go away.
Okay, well,
that
go away.
That doesn't mean we saw an entire building.
Are you saying that somebody took a magic wand and made it go away?
No. Let's look at the evidence. We had this building putting out fumes all afternoon for, 7 hours or so? What was in that? That was a very dense material pouring out of that building.
Well, I don't know about that. Here again, you're asking us to deal with a fact I'm not aware of. I never heard about fumes coming out of a building. I'll tell you what, let me go to Steve in Florida. Steve in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, with Dr. Judy Wood.
Hi, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. Am I
sure.
Loud and clear?
Yeah, you are. Go ahead.
Judy, you have misrepresented the facts concerning Hurricane Aaron. I live here in Hurricane Country, Florida. I track all the hurricanes. Aaron hit Corpus Christi, Texas, 15 August 2007. Your opinion concerning 911 are not consistent with the facts provided on 911 ripple effect, last man out, Richard Gage's blueprint for truth, loose change final cut, zero, an investigation into 911, and many other video documentaries. I don't know what planet you've come from. But
okay, wait, Steve. We don't need to go quite that far. The point is, we are listening to information here, and we're trying to come to a conclusion. But you're mentioning some things that, you know, give her one statement at a time that you'd like for her to address. Steve?
Address.
Okay. I guess he's gone. I don't know what happened to Steve.
As for Hurricane Aaron, they did not retire that name. It has been used several times. It was used before 2001 after that, but it was the biggest storm of the 2001 season, the first hurricane, I believe, of the 2001 hurricane season.
Well, I'd like for Steve to call back because I would like to get his thoughts on the air. I just don't want to tack with, you know, what planet are you from? That's not relative to what we're talking about here. We want to deal with facts. Now, let me just go to another email here. When a lake evaporates, it gases off and on, and it's gases off and goes into the air. Its molecular structure is transformed. When concrete, steel, and glass is aerosolized, its molecular structure is transformed. The buildings were transformed. This is from Dan. He says they didn't just disappear or go away, as the guest seems to suggest, but they were in essence, evaporated into the air, in which the firefighters and other rescuers then breathed in and are now suffering from.
I did not say they disappeared as in, you know, or vaporized. I say dustified. We need a new word for a new phenomenon. The buildings turned to dust through molecular dissociation. They were dustified.
Okay, through molecular dissociation. All right, we're going to be right back after this break. We've got George from Canada coming up here. He wants to add his two cents. So stay tuned to the Power Hour. We'll be back in 1 minute, 10 seconds.